This is a Deese World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
This is Burr Martin of the Burr Martin Experience Podcast, or Selfie Dad as I'm known around the internet. Now, I could tell you all about my podcast by throwing in some special effects or sound bites, but I'm not going to do that, all right? I'm a busy man, brother. I'm a C-minus internet celebrity. Look, I've worked in radio for over 12 years. I've produced about 15 different shows. I worked in a comic book shop. I've done stand-up, hosted events, and I was even voted Hero of the Week in the UK. My podcast is co-hosted by my wife, and we talk about anything and everything. And occasionally, one of our three kids will interrupt to tell us what's going on in their generation. We talk about celebrities, politics, pop culture, and news stories you've probably never heard about. All right, we're radio friendly and we try and keep things upbeat. So join me every week for the Burr Martin Experience Podcast here on the Pants Pending Studios Network. That's Burr Martin. So put a BM in your podcast catcher today and it'll be who wrote the poop joke? I am a C-minus internet celebrity. Which one of you writers wrote that? You go back and you work for Late Night with Chevy Chase. That won't fly here.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
All seven of us in this moose are real sorry.
Get ready for the Social Hour.
Live from Deese World Studios in Spokane, Washington, this is the Social Hour. On today's show, from Spokane Doesn't Suck, Derek Oliver. And now your host. He used to use that same motto about his ex-girlfriend. That's why he broke up with her. Deese Casillas!
Malam Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. This is The Social Hour. I am Deese. Thank you for coming around for another episode. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Again, guys, as a reminder, as with for the new format of the show, no Sophie, no Jeremy. They'll be in here semi, you know, just kind of sporadically doing shows with me, but it's going to be more of a one-on-one. We may have some featured players in studio comics, rotating cast, things like that. But we're just kind of changing up the format. I've been enjoying doing the one-on-ones with guests. It's a little more, you get to dig in a little more, have a little more fun, get to know people and what they're all about. And I like that. So after 300 episodes of doing it with a crew, I'm breaking away. I'm going solo. I'm pulling a McCartney or whoever went solo and probably didn't do as well. But I'm going to try it anyway. No, I mean, we've had rotating casts throughout the last 6 years, so it's good to kind of, I've enjoyed the one-on-one, so we're doing that more, but don't worry, Sophie, Jeremy, you'll see them popping in, along with some other kind of guest comedians here and there. As always, guys, real quickly off the top, go to Patreon.com/PantsPending. Subscribe to the network to get all the behind-the-scenes content. We've got some new show that just launched that, as last week, I still don't remember the name of, but I'm sure it's great. I haven't had a chance to listen to, but it's one of our good friends that is launching it. I am sure it's spectacular. We have some other stuff coming down the pike, too. So get all the behind-the-scenes content from across the network. Bumbling Sanity is back. Never Any Random Discussion never left. Burr Martin Experience never left. All that stuff. But beyond that, guys, that's it. Get all those stupid commercials and all that out of the way. We're going to get right into it here. We have our guest in studio with us today. Not in studio, live via Zoom. Derek Oliver, we call him D.O., the owner-operator of Spokane Doesn't Suck. D.O., thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, I've actually been trying to connect with you for a few years, actually. This is funny because in the early inception of the podcast, which was about Actually, it will be 6 years in a couple weeks. I think I attempted to reach out to you, and I don't know if we ever spoke or if we just never, you know, I had heard about you and it just never worked out, and then whatever, things happen. But I'm glad to have you on here now.
Yeah, sorry if I missed you, by the way. I try to get back to everyone who reaches out, but I guess who knows?
You know, it's, hey man, life's busy. I get it. I won't hold it against you. I appreciate you. You're here now. That's what matters.
Yeah,
it's,
here we are.
It's probably better now anyway, right?
Oh yeah.
I'm better at what I do. You're better at what you do. It's all, everything's exactly. Improved. We're older and wiser and better looking. So you are the owner and operator of Spokane Doesn't Suck. Now,
correct.
What, tell us in your words what that is.
Yeah, it's turned into something that I'd never intended for it to be when I started. I started as like an online deal. It was actually a Tumblr blog back because that was more
sure,
relevant.
Sure, when that was a thing before, it was just porn on there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was just finding, I was relatively new to Spokane myself. I'd moved up from the Dallas area, and this was like in 2000, well, it was almost 10 years ago. So 2011, I guess. And anyway, what happened is it started amassing a following online. There were no products or anything. It was just kind of becoming a popular hashtag.
Right.
And what happened is I have historically, or at the time, I had always tried to submit some artwork because I do some design, you know, create some content or whatever. And I had always tried to submit some work to Terrain, the art show that happens in October,
right?
Normally, maybe not this year, but normally. And one year I was like, I didn't know what I was going to design. I kind of was lacking inspiration for anything new content wise, but I had this sort of brand that I'd started that really had nothing to it other than a phrase that people were starting to become aware of. And so
sure.
I just came up with a design, threw a screen print on like some posters and sold them at that art show. It got accepted and it was, I don't know, it's kind of like one of the first things you saw when you walked in that year, which is fortunate for me, but
yeah, good placement, right?
Yeah. So then I sold a lot of prints and then got a ton of people reaching out like, you need to make shirts, which I was like, I don't have the stuff to do that. I don't really have the space. I was at the time living in a renting a room from a family. Like I didn't have a whole lot of extra room or anything,
yeah.
but I basically got asked so much about it that I was like, okay, well, let's see. I'll start a Kickstarter because I'm not financially in a position to like put myself out there enough to print however many shirts and if it didn't work. So I was like, well, I'll do a Kickstarter, see what people, if they put their money where their mouth is. And then it ended up like almost tripling the goal I had set for it. So I was like, okay, people are down. So I started printing shirts and then started throwing that logo on some other things and kind of just, yeah, I've been making stuff, selling stuff since then.
So if I may try to surmise this, as far as I'm hearing, Spokane Doesn't Suck is really, just a kind of like a general, ideology, we'll say. Like a movement of, you know, let's all have this mindset of what we can do with Spokane. And, you know, we've wrapped some merchandise up in it to promote it. There's, you know, is there anything else tied to it where we're talking events, blogs, you know, things like that, or a, you know, photo journal that keeps those things tied to continuing to prove that Spokane doesn't suck,
right?
If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's fallen primarily in the Instagram, Facebook space now.
Sure.
That's what this is not my full job or my full-time job. It's definitely a side hustle. I work a day job that's less, I don't know, fun.
Sure.
But
aren't they all? That's why it's a day job.
Yeah. But this, you know, this has been like a fun side project, but I don't have a ton of bandwidth to pour into it. So what I've kind of found as a happy medium is looking for cool photos of stuff either going on, like events and stuff that are going on, or like, for example, well, like, I mean, I've posted photos of the marches that have been happening right
sure.
now because I think it's cool that Spokane's participating in that.
Yeah.
So I seek to highlight stuff, but it's tricky because I get hit up all the time with people who are like, hey, can you promote my fill in the blank or whatever?
Yeah.
And really, to be fair, no one's ever paid me to post anything. Like, I don't have any problem with people who do that. That's just not how I want to run that page. And so, I have to be a little selective with it, and my bias shines through with it, of course, and people can like or not like that. But yeah, I do seek to find cool spots, and it's harder now because like everyone, well, I mean, I've been here long enough to know all the, I don't know, traditional like highlight spots. So I try and get a little more creative with those.
Sure.
And then yeah, events or things that are going on that either we're involved in, like if it's a market that I'm selling at, like I'll promote the whole market and be like, oh, by the way, we're here, but like you should check out these other makers. Yeah. There's tons of great artists here. Or yeah, just other things like that are going on. But I haven't done a lot in the way of blog posts or like hosting events. There was a ball rolling for hosting an event for a while. It kind of petered out, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, it could have been a huge flop. But yeah, it's pretty much just kind of an online thing, a little bit like you said, like a lifestyle. I didn't even mean for it to become a part of the vernacular of the conversation the way I feel like it has over the past 10 years. I think it's kind of gone in waves over the past 10 years, up and down. But I do think it's, well, first of all, I should say, it's not like I'm saying, yeah, Spokane's cool. Like, it's fine. It doesn't suck. I'm saying, like, people say Spokane sucks, and I'm saying it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. Great. You're adamantly saying Spokane does not suck.
Yeah. But it is, it's layered, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. And it's also, like, if you have been here, you it makes sense. And other people, like, when I'm at markets and stuff, people mm-hmm. will come up and be like, because I have this big sign, and they'll just like read it and look at it and laugh or take a picture and like never say anything to me. And I'm like, right. Hey, what's up? You know? And like, wait, what, why would you say it doesn't suck? I'm like, well, cause it doesn't, but people think it does, but they're wrong. But yeah, it's just basically a pro Spokane. Like, let's not be down on ourselves. Let's not, always play the, I don't know, stepchild or whatever, like the lesser version of Seattle. Like, yeah, we're not Seattle, but they're very different cities, and they're both great. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions about this, because I also am not from Spokane, and I moved here about the same time you did, actually, from LA. So big, you know, major metropolitan area, big city like Dallas, I mean, and you come to a city like Spokane. So I've got a lot, and I too, genuinely, part of the reason I stayed here is because I fell in love with the city, and I fell in love with the people and kind of what was happening. And I saw a lot of potential in Spokane, and I wanted to be a part of kind of making it what it could have been, which was part of the inception of the podcast, although it grew beyond a local thing, fortunately. But the, you know, cause I mean, I moved here and signed, and I wouldn't even sign a 12-month lease when I moved here. Like, I made the guy who was renting the house do an 8-month lease, because I'm like, there's no way I want to be here that long.
Like, I'm not committing.
Yeah, not at all. And then, you know, whatever. I mean, I've been here since March of 2009, you know, and I well, you know, now it's home. But so I'm going to try to, we're going to backtrack quite a bit and then kind of get back to the current. But you're from Dallas. What brought you to Spokane from Dallas?
Yeah. So this is where the story gets kind of interesting, or maybe it's not, depends on who you are. I actually moved.
We'll spice it up. We'll fix it in post if it's not interesting.
Yeah. I moved here with a group of people to help start a church in the Northwest. So we actually didn't know we were going to be in Spokane. We knew we wanted to be somewhere in the Northwest, like Washington, Montana, Idaho, maybe Oregon. And actually probably not Idaho, but we wanted to do that. We were tired of being in the Bible Belt. That was not a good cultural fit for us. It wasn't, for a lot of reasons. So we come up to the Northwest. Long story short, we scoped out a lot of cities around the region, and then ended up feeling like Spokane's where we should belong. or should be. And with that, and that being the way I came, whereas you signed like an 8-month lease, we had all signed up for like 3 years. We're going to be here for 3 years. And at that point you can reassess. And if you don't want to stick around, cool. But like we signed up for this work. We're going to do it. Turns out everyone did like it enough to like exceed that 3 years. Actually, yeah. Everyone I moved up here with the exception of one couple or one family, they're all still here. Not to get all the way to forward, but like, I'm not actually a part of the church anymore. My beliefs have evolved. I'm no longer in leadership there, but that is definitely what brought me up here. And in the process of doing that, fell in love with the city. And then like the thing that did bring me here ended up not being what's keeping me, because I'm still here.
Yeah.
You know,
I was going to ask what denomination, what church was it with, if I can ask?
Yeah. It's called Inland Church. So Christian church, technically Baptist. It's pretty non-denominational in practice. And I still I love those people. Those are, you know, they're like ride or dies for me. It's
sure.
Just not my, I'm not there right now.
Sure. That's it. Nothing wrong with that. So you came to Spokane. I want to talk about Dallas first, though, especially, you know, growing up. Sounds like you grew up in a religious family. Is that right? Or
yeah.
So mm-hmm. kind of in that, in the church. What was it like growing up in Dallas? I mean, how old are you, by the way?
So I'm 36.
Okay.
Yeah. And I've basically my first 25 years or so were spent in the Dallas area, with a couple exceptions around the country. But, I grew up in Arlington, which is the suburb right between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a big city in its own right. But home of Six Flags. And that was actually my first job.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah. So, I didn't know any different.
How much vomit did you clean up at Six Flags? Like, were you just carrying around sawdust with you constantly?
Dude, that was not my job. This is crazy, because they hired you at, like, you could get a job at 15 there. So as soon as I could work, as old enough to work, my parents were like, get it. You're going to work. We don't care. So I guess because I was a little extroverted or something, I got a job in the games department. So, you know, like pop the balloon with the dart or throw the ring on the bottle or like, you know.
Yeah. Like carnival style games. Parks. So you're like a carnival barker at Six Flags almost. Okay.
I was like, they gave me a microphone to guess people's either age, weight, or birthday, just to the open audience of Six Flags.
Are those,
like,
those are all things you would get sued for now.
Exactly.
That's a class action lawsuit waiting to happen. If everyone got together and be like, when I was 19 at Six Flags, they guessed my weight and I have PTSD and now I have an eating disorder. That's a class action lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah, just totally like putting people's protected classes on blast for the whole park to hear. Yeah. So that was, I had fun though. But I definitely did grow up heavily involved in the church. It was just kind of the every time the doors are open type of thing. We were there and I'm grateful. I don't ever want to sound like I'm bashing that background because I'm not in it now. Like, I'm grateful for that upbringing. I think totally shaped me into being the best parts of who I am now still. I didn't know anything different from it. So like, you know, you go to college. I went to college in Texas also at A&M. So like 3 hours south of Dallas. Mm-hmm. But still was pretty surrounded by very like-minded people there. So I kind of maintained a bit of a bubble. During those years, feels stupid talking about now because it's like so long ago, but my life growing up from ages like 8 to 18 was gymnastics. I was a competitive gymnast for a long time.
That's a lot of work though. I mean, those guys, they're working you like, I mean, that's a lot of hours, a lot of hard work, man. People don't realize how much, like, I mean, first of all, raw talent, but also just training that. I mean, dude, I couldn't even do a cartwheel. I mean,
It was a lot, but I loved it. And so it was like 15 hours a week throughout high school doing just in the gym and on top of like school and stuff. But
still nimble, still can do a flip.
On a trampoline, I can.
Okay,
all right. Maybe not on the floor. I can do cartwheels and stuff, but nothing no backflips on the grass or anything anymore. I'm a little washed up for it.
It's not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Obamacare doesn't cover that. So you grew up in Texas, and then it kind of sounds like you spent most of your time down. What is your favorite city in Texas?
Well,
because I feel like Texas is very divisive. Like there's parts of Texas I love a lot. And people tend to disagree with me on some of them. And then there's parts where I'm like, I'm pretty good, man. I don't.
It's like different cities have different appeals, and like even towns, there's small towns that are like middle of nowhere. You would never visit them or anything, but they're mm-hmm. great. And they have like wonderful sunsets and like really nice people.
Yeah.
And Bluebell ice cream is made in that town and stuff like that. But I mean, first answer is Austin. Austin's a great city.
Sure.
I actually don't even know if I would want to live there right now with how quickly they've grown and how unprepared they were for it and all that. But
yeah.
I mean, culturally, it's hard to beat in Texas.
Sure. It's a blue city and a red state. Very, just kind of, but it's crazy how long it's been that way. You know,
yeah.
People don't realize
that
Austin's been that way for 40 years or maybe even longer. It was because there was such a huge music scene back forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The music and the food specifically there are what would draw me to it.
Yeah.
But man, Texas, like one of the things that I don't miss about it, I miss the food a lot, but I do not miss the weather. Like it's already in the mid 90s there.
Oh, really?
Like right now it is there.
There's humidity there too, right?
Yep.
So, because I grew up in the Southwest and I don't mind, I can do 90 as long as it's, desert dry heat. That's what we had in the Southwest, like where I'm from, which was great. I don't mind that. But yeah, you get that humidity in there and man, that is a whole other animal right there.
Well, and keep in mind, I was working on the asphalt at Six Flags or I was,
right.
doing stuff like that. But I, like one of my last summers there, actually it might've been after I'd left, but they broke the record for the most consecutive days over 100 degrees. And I was like, that's not a record I want to be there to break. Like, I don't need that.
Yeah. That, I get it. Honestly, I love hot weather. I mean, I can do, as long as it's dry heat, like I said, I can do dry heat all day, every day. It doesn't bother me. The winters is the one thing I struggle with here. I'm bad at snow and I get cold and I just don't want, I just get, I'm like, hit me out of this. You mentioned the food. And that is one thing, I will say, I agree with you. Spokane doesn't suck. They could do better with the food, man. The food is not up to par in Spokane in any department, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like it's gotten a lot better. I think we're moving in a great direction with that.
Yeah.
I think there's room to grow for us still.
Yeah. One of the things, again, when I originally started this, the podcast came out of a project at the time that was called Spokane Vibe, which we did events downtown and we did basically promoting local. It was kind of like a local Yelp where you could, people from Spokane could go and look at every, peer reviewed from other Spokane people. And I started that because when I moved here, I'm looking at like the Inlander's best of, and like, best burger is like Red Robin, best steak is like Applebee's. And you're like, what are you doing, man? Like you have great places. This was at the time when Churchill's was still doing their Wimpy Wednesday burger deal.
Yep.
They may still, but it was real big back then. I'm like, that's your best burger in town, or there's definitely local places. And
right.
They just, people are going to Red Lobster's best seafood and this. And I'm like, oh, man, you guys need to open up your taste buds. All that MS in the municipal water system is killing your taste buds, I think.
Yeah, man, I feel that. I noticed that, too, when I first moved here. I was like, wow, y'all, this is not right. Like, we got to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. What's one of your favorite food spots in Spokane that you would shout out?
Yeah. Ruins is my go-to for like, if I want to go somewhere that I know I'm going to like, or if someone's in town, I want to show them a spot, regardless of what their menu might be that night. Like, I know I'm going to like what I get at Ruins. Just think it's so bomb. But then, yeah, when you get into like, you know, you're talking about best burger, like that to me is a whole conversation in itself. And then like, you know, but like best tacos is like a much shorter conversation.
Yeah. It's like I mean, as a Mexican, from LA, you know, who grew up on my grandma's tacos, who, you know, was born and raised in Mexico. It's hard to, I get here and I'm like, I don't know what Adelanos is your go-to, you know, Gerardo's maybe, De Leon's maybe, but beyond that, it's like, where do you go?
Yeah. Well, Cochinito, I do love their tacos. They're like on the bougie end of tacos.
Right.
But I like those a lot. And say what you will about Borracho, but they've got great tacos.
I will agree. Their tacos are pretty good. I do. I feel like I've aged out of that place, even if it's during the day. I just have a hard time. I'm like, I don't know, man. Their food is pretty good. They do have a good like taco Tuesday special and stuff. It's been probably a year or two since I've been there, but it's good. Just the ethnic food. I mean, you can find a decent steak here. You know, you can find a decent burger, but everything's kind of like this kind of bar food to like semi bar food, you know, like maybe a little higher end, like gastropub, which is just fluffed up bar food.
Lots of that.
You know, I mean, trying to find a decent Asian place or anything like that is pretty rough here.
Yeah. Gordy's is a good one for some Chinese food.
That's one place I've never been to. I always hear about it and I haven't been yet. I need to go at some point.
For as much as I like it, I don't go that often, but it is, I remember being like, whoa, okay, this is
pretty,
this
legit.
Is good. I spent a summer in China, and so I, you know, feel like I'm a expert on Chinese food.
Yeah,
which
sure.
I'm not.
Well, you got some qualifications, probably, but a lot more than most Spokane people at that point.
Yeah, maybe so. But I mean, you know, I'm no chef, but that place, I remember I got a lot of notes that I was like, oh, this tastes like real. And it's not, I think the owners are some white family or something.
I believe they are. Yeah.
They pull it off.
Hey, well, you know, if you get the recipe, you know how to do it. It's all it takes, right?
Yeah. So. Maybe they spent two summers in China. I don't know.
Summer and a winter. Winter's when you learn how to cook there, I heard. So you moved to Spokane, and what about Spokane made you fall in love with it? What was it that, like, you know, you planned on being here 3 years, that 3 years came and went, and then you decided to stay, and, you know, not for the reason you came, like you said. So what was it about it that kind of connected you to the city and made you want to stay?
Yeah. Well, I had done some research about Spokane once we landed on that's where we're going to be moving. And I won't lie, like some of what I was seeing did not get me excited about this decision.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where this thing started. I was like, well, you know what? I need to convince myself this place doesn't suck, because if I'm going to be there for 3 years, like I need to get on board.
Get the mantra going.
So anyway, when we did move here, we had some loose connections through, you know, mutual friends and stuff. And they were just the kind of people who really were not inconvenienced by us being new. And like, we're happy to like welcome us and kind of show us what introduce us to people they knew and the neighborhood we were living in and like recommend spots and stuff like that. So I met a couple who they actually moved. They live in Detroit now, but they were here for the first few years I was here. Mm-hmm. And their names are Topher and Corey Weber. Shout out to them. They very much took me under their wing and like invited, they were very plugged in the city. Like they knew the shows that were going on, like the good restaurants, the people who own those places or the bands that were playing and all that stuff. So they brought me along to like everything they did, and I was just eating it up because I like going out and I like meeting people and all that. So from really early on, I was very fortunate to get exposure to a lot of the things that resonate with me mm-hmm. in a city. And got kind of like a front row seat to a lot of that with people who really knew their way around the city.
Yeah.
So I just got to see stuff right off the bat that I was like, oh wow, this city's legit. And there's a lot to do. And like all this stuff that I read online or the stuff that people say when I say I'm moving to Spokane and their response is, I'm sorry.
Right.
I was like, no, I don't get it. Like my experience here doesn't match up with what I was expecting based off of all of that. So it was pretty quick love story.
No, I think that the part of it, like you said, you get to know, you know, a couple people who are plugged in here, and you'll find that instantly you know everyone almost.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of similar happened to me. I met a couple of people. I was hanging out at a place that was downtown. It no longer exists, but it was a sports bar called The Game that they had the NBA ticket. They're one of the only places in town that had an NBA ticket. So I'd go there and I'd watch basketball all night because I love NBA, and I didn't know anyone. And I got to know the staff and the owners and became friends with them. And they'd been around downtown forever, and I became friends with everyone else. And you just now I can't go anywhere without not knowing everyone.
And that's crazy.
That's one of the things I like about Spokane. I think it's one of the appeals to me is that the second biggest city in Washington state, but there's a lot of small town feel to it where you still can, you know, you don't have to necessarily be with a group of people to have fun in a night. You can just kind of start popping into places, and you're going to run into people, you know. You may link up with a group of people. You may still just bounce around and see people, you know, at places, but you're gonna find stuff to do and have a good time.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Yeah. And you know, things have been closed down and they're just starting to reopen right now. I've been pretty quarantined overall, but I've gone to a couple breweries or, you know, just spots to meet up with people I haven't seen. I kind of forgot that happens. Cause like every place I've gone, I was like, what's up? Hey, hey, sweet. Yeah. Oh, good to see you. Happy phase two, you know? And I miss that, you know, it's so, and I think you're the same way. Like as more extroverted people, that's like really life giving to us. So like how sweet to live in a city where that's so available.
Yeah, it really is a good, I mean, I think, especially in, you know, you growing up in Dallas probably experiences too, but growing up in, at least in LA, you know, it probably accentuated. So in an even more extreme way, every interaction with people seems disingenuous in LA because kind of everyone is kind of not who they say they are. They're all trying to be someone and they're all trying to step over someone to be that person, you know, and it's just a really, really kind of gross culture is the only way I can describe it. And I, you know, I moved away from LA and moved to the Northwest for a while in my mid teens and bounced all over back to LA. And that's part of why I found myself back in the Northwest again, as I wanted to be out of LA. And, you know, I had friends and relatives that would give me shit about living up here who'd never been here. And I'm like, oh no, man, it's, I'm living the good life. Don't worry about me. Like this is, and don't come visit. Don't come visit. Just trust me. But I think part of it is you get, you know, people like us that have perspective and move here. Whereas the people who grow up here are the ones that are so negative about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think part of it is they just kind of get, and I take this in the spirit, it's intended, Spokane. But I think they somehow get, they're just kind of uninspired and they don't really feel very, you know, they're not really motivated to go do. And you find, you know, these people coming in from out of state are the ones that come here and be like, this is great, and want to like take advantage of it. And they kind of sit here and be like, well, it's not Seattle. I don't know. This sucks. You're like, oh man, you know, you should really be pretty excited about where you live actually.
Yeah. And I get some of that because like, you know, you too, like we left the places that we grew up. So we're not in those, and they're cool cities, but like, we're not there anymore. And like, there's something to that, like wanting to see something else and like get exposure. Yeah. So we obviously lose a lot of folks to Seattle or, you know, or Portland or whatever. But yeah, it's, you can't have the perspective of how good or bad any place is if that's the only place you've seen. Like, right. So yeah. I agree. It helps. Like, and like I've mentioned, I've lived a few cities. So I did grow up in like a huge suburb and then went to giant college. And then I lived in like Dallas proper, like a mile from downtown. And then I took like an internship in Philly for a season, like 3-4 months.
Yeah.
Like lived in the Philly life. And then like took another little job in a tiny town called Brenham, Texas. So I've kind of like seen a pretty decent diverse mix of what the United States at least has to offer.
Yeah.
And yeah, the things that I have grown to realize that I value in a city, Spokane offers a lot of them. And
definitely.
I think, yeah, if I had grown up here, I don't, and never left, I don't know that I would have had that perspective at all.
Yeah. I mean, traveling is some of the perspective, and not some, a lot of it, being able to get that at varying degrees. I find it as, I thought it was a Northwest thing, you know, because I lived in Montana for a while. I've lived here. I've lived some other places. And but again, as I went back to LA, I found it was, I think it's kind of everywhere. It's just this general malaise of people in these days who don't try to get out and want to. I find people don't have passions, and they just kind of float, and then they complain about where they're at, but they don't do anything to change it.
Easier to do that, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things I said not long ago. You know, I said, you know, the people who always complain about how Spokane sucks, I guarantee have never done anything to try to make it cooler. You know, and it's like, yeah, you can, you don't like it. Okay. If there's something you don't enjoy about it, or there's a gap that needs to be filled, you know, find a way to make that happen. You know, let's do something, get some people together, start a movement. I mean, Spokane's a small enough community that you can get some grassroots traction pretty easily.
Totally, man. Two things on that. One is, you're exactly right. Like, that's one of the big appeals of Spokane to me, is that it's accessible in the sense that you could start like a new restaurant or a music venue or a whatever it is you want to start. Like, it's not as out of reach to do it here as it would be in a lot of other places.
Right.
And the community tends to really be about new stuff. So whether or not they'll be into you a year from that opening date is a different question. This kind of the vibe I get here, but early they'll have your back, and then it's on you as a business owner to make sure they stay engaged or whatever. And yeah, it's so, I get a lot of good interactions with people when I'm at those markets working, you know, 10-hour days in a tent with my big sign behind me. And it's my favorites are the people who just come up and they'll just be like, I disagree. Like, Spokane does suck. And I'm like, well, oh, okay. Like, you can think that. Not, first of all, asking you to buy anything, right, certainly. And also, you don't have to stay. Like, you could go somewhere else if you're so unhappy here. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very easily. And you know, it's just that general, again, malaise of like, I'll just stay here and hate it. It's like, well, man, find a place you love, or find a reason to love this place. And I think, you know, for me, it fell in the perfect... it has, you know, I don't like big cities anymore. The older I get, I like less traffic and less people. Spokane kind of gives you everything you'd want from a big city while still having that small city appeal. You know, you can drive 20 minutes in any direction and be out of town, you know,
totally.
And, you know, be hiking somewhere. We've got a beautiful river that runs through the middle of the city. We've got a great comedy scene, a great music scene, a great art scene, you know, WhoFest. We've got all these things that are really, you know, the park downtown is beautiful now that they've redone it. I mean, there's so much to this city. And I mean, I'm glad I got here when I did. I'm sure you feel, obviously must feel the same way you stayed. Because, I mean, I think give it another 10 years, Spokane is going to be, I mean, you've already seen it growing like crazy, but Spokane in 10 years is going to be just an animal, just a whole, like, I mean, like a, probably a, like a tourist destination place.
Yeah, I agree. I think it might be unrecognizable from how it is now. COVID sucks, because like, it'd be fun to see if that trajectory, I know there's things that have already been you know, affected by that that would be new for us now. But I agree. Yeah, the trajectory is good for Spokane. And I mean, it's going to come with people leaving bigger cities, like you said, that are driven out because they are tired of the rat race, or they don't want to, they can't afford to pay their mortgage or whatever the situation is. And then they see, like, you know, there's reasons, there's legitimate reasons why people would move to this city, which we've already, we've been talking for 40 minutes about how great it is. And I think people are going to have to realize that's going to happen. And there's going to be some like great consequences of that. And there's going to be some downsides to that. But all in all, I think it nets out to be really positive for the city. And yeah, bringing it, like, yeah, someone's going to come in and open up a good Mexican food place,
right,
or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Oh god, I hope. I'm hoping for Cuban. I need a Cuban joint, man.
Okay,
that's my food right there. Cuban is, I mean, I love Mexican food obviously, but man, Cuban food and like Peruvian food are two things that are amazing.
Well, what I really miss is Tex-Mex, which is its own version, of course.
Sure. Yeah,
of
yeah.
Oh man, it's all I eat when I go back to Dallas. It's like three meals a day. I miss it so much. So if we could get that up here, I'd be a happy dude.
Are you one of those guys that plans their trips around where they're eating?
In a way, it's like, well, we plan the destination and then I start figuring out like, where are we going to eat?
Yeah. That's sure. That's exactly. I'm the same way. Every time I go somewhere, I mean, like when I get booked in other cities for comedy, the first thing I'm looking up is like, all right, what kind of food they got in this place? Where can I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go here for lunch, go here for dinner, I'm gonna grab a snack here. You know, I'm like just savoring, waiting for these new to hit these new spots.
Totally.
So, what's one of the things you think Spokane could benefit from the most? Like, what's one of the things we're missing? You think that we, I mean, besides the food and, you know, obvious those type of things, like on a bigger scale.
I think a music venue that is, or a multi-purpose venue, comedy, music, what live event space that is like 2000 capacity, something in that range, sort of like the Knitting Factory, maybe a little bigger and
a little nicer, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know who listens to this podcast, but like, yeah, it's a better experience than going to the Knitting Factory.
Right. It's okay. I don't care about I'm not a big fan of the Knitting Factory.
Yeah. So I think that, and I mean, the art and culture scene is kind of my gig, so that's top of mind for me. But
sure.
I do think that it would be a huge benefit. We would get, I mean, that's part of when people complain about like, oh, Spokane doesn't have stuff that like Seattle does. Like, yeah, you can't see certain artists because they're not going to play here because it's not a big enough market. There's not a big enough room. But I think if you get that good kind of mid-size but bigger end of the spectrum room and have it well run and well executed, I think Spokane would reap a lot of benefit from that.
Yeah, it seems like all the music venues are just kind of ratty you jump from kind of too small to kind of the Knit, which I don't even know how many the Knit holds.
Like 1500.
I mean, which is reasonable, but still too small for some artists. And then you jump to the Arena, which is just too big for some artists,
right?
You know, I mean, that's great if Elton John's coming to town, or Garth Brooks, or fucking the Dixie Chick. I don't know what the hell's popular anymore.
Yeah, all of the above.
If Gary Puckett and the Union Gap Band is still touring,
or Captain Geach and the Strip Shack Shooters,
right? Those guys are hot, right? I heard the kids really love them. There's not really a place to put those. So yeah, if you had a nice venue that was, you know, 2,500 people or something like that and could really, had it run well. I think it could do really well. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, even like from the comedy perspective, if you could get like, well, I don't know what size rooms Dave Chappelle performs at. It seems like every different size from what I can tell, but like, you know, some like A-list, if that is how you refer to them, comedians, stuff like that, like bring those folks into town and get people out.
Yeah, that's a weird one, because I mean, the you know, Dave Chappelle's more of, I mean, if he's touring, he's in arenas. I mean, I went and saw him at the Tacoma Dome a couple months ago, and he sold it out. Actually, they sold, he sold more tickets in the in one night than the Tacoma Dome has ever sold before.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, he could do the arena here. Comedy's a weird one because, I mean, the Comedy Club before, you know, pre-COVID was holding 350, you know, about 350 was the capacity. You know, so you could get a lot of big comics come to a weekend. A lot of guys like Dave Chappelle just want to do a night, you know, they're not, you know, and then I think Jim Gaffigan did the arena. He was here and did the arena. You'll have some guys come through and do the Bing, but the Bing is kind of, it's not a, not, I like Jerry and the guys who run the Bing, but it's kind of a weird venue just all around and for comedy and just in general, it feels kind of stuffy.
It's a different vibe.
You feel like you're watching, you should be like watching, you know, an old play or like an opera, not comedy.
Yeah.
So, what about, so during this, so let's talk about this whole COVID thing and how you dealt with that. You still had a day job. Were you working the day job during that?
Yeah. So my day job is actually, I work in human resources at Sacred Heart. So I've been considered essential. Most of the time I've been going in, we kind of have our own offices. So we're sort of socially distanced by design there, but the work has been all over the place. Yeah. It got very hectic there for a while when we were, you know, getting ready for a potential surge, which thankfully we didn't quite hit and hopefully we don't.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so I do, I am working from home some, but mostly I'm still going in where, you know, all my friends are, if they're working at all right now or were during phase one, they were doing it from home and a lot of people were out of work. Cause I am friends with a lot of people in the service industry and stuff. So
yeah,
it's been tough watching everybody get affected by it. Like, I mean, I sell these shirts and stuff in the store at the mall. From Here is the name of the store that Terrain runs. It's all local artists and local makers. And that's been really pretty nice kind of passive income for me. That was stopped during COVID. I'm not complaining. Like I said, my main job's been fine and I'm not here to whine about that at all, but like I know a lot of the makers in there, that is their primary source. And so you know, everyone's just trying to figure out ways to help each other out if they can, and just persevere if that's what you have to do. But it's definitely, I mean, no one is unaffected by this thing. It's just, it's bizarre.
What, I got an idea for you. I'm going to give this to you. You can take 100% of this.
Okay.
But since you work at, the hospital, Spokane Doesn't Suck scrubs.
Oh yeah. Just branded scrubs.
Yeah. Scrubs for all the, just sell them to all the nurses and doctors and everything. You can, I mean, you could go full bore, man. You could go Spokane Doesn't Suck, pillowcases, Spokane Doesn't Suck, drinking glasses, put on, you know,
hands.
Yeah. You could do the whole thing. You could have like a catheter, ironically be called like, or one of like a suction tube, ironically called Spokane Doesn't Suck.
Yeah. Or except I would like make that one say Spokane Does Suck just for that one thing.
That thing, this one part of it.
Yeah. Well, and actually that's a funny that you bring it up. Cause I mean, I've thought about doing a whole lot of things I haven't done.
Yeah.
But space is still a bit of an issue. I don't want to take up more than one room in my house for this stuff. It's not, that I'm not growing it to that extent.
Just make it run your life. It's okay, Dio. Just do it.
Yeah, I know, right? No, man, it's funny. I actually, to change the course a little bit, I wonder, as Spokane, like we've talked about, has gotten so much better since even, you know, we showed up, and certainly if you scoot back further, it's improved a lot.
Yeah.
I am aware that this brand has a lifespan, and I'm not trying to milk it beyond whatever that is. I don't know how you determine what that is, but I'm like, I'm not the guy that's going to be like, no, keep buying, keep saying Spokane. Like if no one's saying Spokane Sucks, cause it's like arrived someday, like I don't need to do this. That's fine. And the space constraint actually helps me with that, cause it keeps me in check from like going too overboard and then sitting on too much stuff.
What I think you need is, I think you need some crisis actors. to start going downtown and be like, Spokane sucks, man. I heard this place sucks real hard. We came over, we're from Bend, and man, this place is a real hole. I'll tell you what.
Create a fear campaign.
Yeah. And then, you know, you could, what you do is then you create an alternate website called Spokane Does Suck, and you print those shirts too, man. You can double down on both sides, make money on both ends, coming and going.
Own the market. Well, there's a guy on Instagram whose username is Spokane Sucks, and he follows me, and we've actually chatted on there. I think it's hilarious. I'm like, good for you, kid. Like, knock yourself out.
I'm telling you, man, you play both roles, and you could really double down on this thing. You're making money both ways. You're leaving money on the table.
I know, man. I'm going to have to buy some more shelves for this room.
So with this whole thing, the COVID and everything kind of opened back up, like we say, was there anything during this pandemic that you, I mean, you still were working your day job, so you didn't kind of have the off time that a lot of us did. But is there anything you kind of, since you weren't able to go out and do what you normally do, did you rediscover anything that like you loved doing that you forgot you loved doing?
Yeah, man. Good question. Actually, I did still have a lot of extra time because I am rarely home when I'm working. Even like on weeknights, I'll go meet up with friends or I'll be out, you know, doing stuff. So I felt still stuck and actually kind of glad I was at least going into work. But, couple things. Yeah. And it's so basic, but like reading and writing are two things that I picked back up after a couple weeks of what was honestly pretty low time because I was not prepared for being forced to be introverted.
It's a big change.
Yeah, it was tough. And so then I was like, I need to get some routines going. And so I just ordered a bunch of books to make myself read some stuff. And so I've read a few books, working on my third one of quarantine right now. And then I did like a project I found online. It was called the Isolation Journals.
Okay.
During April. And so every day they send a prompt of something you could either write about or create, you know, like do a painting about, or, you know, just this creative project basically. And I really like leaned into that. It was cool. And then actually along with writing, I found a bag of stuff. I walk to work because I live really close, so I just walked like 10 minutes, found a bag of stuff on the ground, and I was like, I don't like litter, so I was gonna pick it up and toss it. Well, in the bag was like all these old school postcards from Europe somewhere, I don't know, just like old cool looking postcards. And I decided to just write each day on one of those cards during quarantine, just kind of like what's going on with quarantine, just as like a way to document, because this has been a very bizarre time, and I think we get used to it and it kind of becomes normal, even though we know it's weird, but we don't like recognize like, oh, actually, you know, they just opened up restaurants again and you can only have 5 people at a table. Like, that's weird. Like, that's not normal.
Sure.
So
yeah.
So I'm trying to like document that stuff as a, I don't know, just for me later, or if somebody ever finds them and like, oh, look, this person documented that quarantine that happened whenever it happened, you know, however many years ago.
There's these weird subtle changes. I mean, now things are open. Like Saturday I tried to go out to breakfast, and we couldn't get in anywhere because you go in and they're like, oh, we're at capacity, but there's open tables everywhere, but they've got to have, you know, space between every, and it's just this really weird, you know, and it's trying to figure out where the rules are and why. And but yeah, that is an interesting, you know, reading and writing and things are things I think a lot of people picked back up and kind of just kind of like, oh yeah, these the way people used to entertain themselves, you know, before the internet and before we had cell phones in our hands and gaming systems. Like, you know, I mean, when I was a kid, I'm about your age, just a year older than you are. I mean, it was, you know, you read, you write, you draw, you do things like that to entertain myself most of my youth, you know.
Totally.
So those are, it's nice to see that you got found some things. Do you think you'll keep doing those more now that you have, you know, now that everything's slowly going back to normal?
Yeah. The writing for me kind of dropped off. I've finished up that project through the month of April and felt good about finishing it and didn't feel compelled to keep doing it necessarily because I was like, well, I'm going to keep reading. I need to keep reading. Bought all these books, think it's good for my brain. I want to keep that healthy. I'm getting older, you know? So yeah, I hope to really keep that up. And I have, I mean, I probably have a solid 5 book queue ahead of me. So
all right.
Got to do it.
Well, now what's the number one thing you miss the most that you couldn't wait to do once this was all over?
Like a night at Lucky You Lounge, okay. Like a show, dancing,
sure.
Hanging with friends, food, like doesn't have to be there, but I do love it there. But like, just like a show and a bunch of people and loud music and dancing like that. I love it.
All right. Yeah, that's a good spot. So, all right, let's, I think what we're going to do, let me see where we're at. We are going to do a couple news stories real quick, and then we will get into the segment we call the rundown. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Okay. Let's see. We will queue up the news here.
Broadcasting live from the news mecca, Spokane, Washington, to our affiliates all over the world, this is the Social Hour News.
All right, in the news, lots happening. I try and find some things recently, the last few weeks, that are not COVID-related because everyone is tired of hearing about that, even though we just talked a lot about it for the last hour. But we'll try and find some news articles that aren't about it. The first one I want to talk about is what's happening in Seattle, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. I'm sure you've heard about what's going on there, Dio.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like the people of Seattle have taken over a small portion of Capitol Hill, reclaiming one of the precincts in the police station. And they've also, I guess, taken over a part of City Hall, or they just kind of gave it up to them. It sounds like the mayor is on board with these people's, I guess not even demands. They don't really necessarily have demands. How do you think this is gonna end? What do you think? Because I mean, the authorities are trying to get in and find out what they want, what the end game is, but they don't have a leader, and they don't want to have a leader because they don't want to have anyone specifically identified or targeted,
right?
Which is a shrewd ploy, but I wonder what's the end game with this?
Yeah, I think I think people there are asking that question because you're right. It seems like it's, you know, I've tried to keep up with it because I care about social issues and stuff like that. So I'm not a huge fan of police brutality. Call me crazy.
Yeah, but weird, right? Huh? You're one of those fringe guys, huh?
I've been watching it and like looking at people's. I have friends that are down there posting stories, or just people that are Facebook Live down there from different perspectives. Seems like it's, I don't know what the ratio is, let's say half and half, whether that's right or not. People who are like about a demonstration and trying to, you know, instigate change through this big, you know, unique thing that's happening in that city compared to what's happening in other cities. And then there's another group that's like, oh, cool, it's Cap Hill Block Party quarantine version.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I think that muddies
the
water.
Bring in the EDM music. Yeah.
And then the and then, you know, it's just like with any coverage, you choose whether or not you're going to believe the rhetoric that they're portraying about that what's happening there. But it is confusing because there is no leader. There's no like spokesperson.
Right.
There's not I've heard of goals that they have, but they seem like not everyone knows them, you know.
Yeah.
And they're pretty generic, too. So. Yeah, I don't know what their end game is. I mean, I think people are going to continue across the country to demonstrate until, and this is so sad to me, but until like a different story takes the public's attention away from where it is now.
Yeah. Everything does have a shelf life, not because of importance, but because of attention span.
Correct. Yeah.
I will say this, and you being from Texas, you'll agree, you'll probably even agree, you'll definitely understand this. I think these people need to be real happy that Janet Reno isn't the Attorney General anymore. This could end real badly if Janet Reno is back in charge.
She doesn't play around.
Right. For those of you who remember Waco, David Koresh, and them just firebombing an entire compound.
Yeah, look it up on Netflix if you haven't heard. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. It's an interesting. I think sometime this week I'm going to drive over there. I want to go see it. I had two of my comedian friends from the West Side go through there in the last few days, and they were independently, not for me, just kind of independently, and have some thoughts on it. So I'd like to go see it. I'm interested. I like the sentiment. I'm firmly behind the whatever good ideas they have coming out of there. I think something like that can I hate to be slippery slope guy, but there always is some dissension there and things that can go awry. I do like that they're able to do that, and that Seattle's kind of letting them, because I think that type of change needs to happen, and that's kind of how it happens. I mean, when this whole thing came up and people were talking about the protests and some of them turning into riots, and how a couple things. My experience, I grew up in South Central, in the 80s. I'm like, I lived through the LA riots, in not the good areas either, in the areas that were on fire. So I have the experience. I know why that frustration and anger happens. I know what it stems from. And also, I kind of always make the point of, remember how the Revolutionary War was won through peaceful protest? Like, oh yeah, it wasn't.
That's not how that happened.
Yeah, it wasn't. So you kind of, and I think that was kind of my take with, it's interesting timing, because my take with COVID was that really the government was kind of doing their best to just kind of satiate and placate people and keep them docile, just like, hey, we'll give you a little bit of money and it's enough to get by, and here's a little food, and just shut up and don't worry. I don't know where you stand on all this, but I'm not necessarily a conspiracy theorist, but also I know enough crazy stuff that the government has done that anytime I hear something, I'm like, maybe, man, they're horrible.
It's easy to not trust the government, kind of regardless of who's in leadership at that given 4-year stretch.
Yeah,
because you're right, we've been given reasons to be hesitant. I can understand people's being there. I working in the medical field, I do lean towards let's trust science. But I get the rub that exists with I want my haircut protest that preceded the Black Lives Matter protest. Yeah. I'm not holding those signs, but I see it.
Sure. Yeah. It's just a weird time with all these things coming back to back to back to back. And you just kind of wonder what's coming next.
I know.
And it's, everything. I mean, I'm not saying I don't, I fully believe COVID is real. I think they may have intentionally overstated its seriousness. I don't know. It seems like there's certainly they were wrong about its seriousness. But I mean, they did. I don't know how intentional it was, but I think there was some, the government has a proven track record of wanting to mislead the public and masses and keep them kind of hysterical in a sense to be able to control them. So, I think they may have manipulated this slightly to their advantage.
I will say, you can look at it that way. You can also look at the fact that our numbers as a country are great if you are trying to have a lot of people infected and a lot of deaths associated with it compared to other countries that have handled it differently. So I think I similar to like, what is the outcome of Chaz? Like, what's that going to look like? Yeah. I think when we, whenever it is that we can look back on COVID and like big picture, and it's going to probably be like, I don't know, 5 years from now when we really see all the downstream effects of
everything
on a global scale, and we'll be like, oh, that country handled it best, or oh, maybe we handled it better than we thought, or, you know, I think a lot of that remains to be seen.
Yeah, it is tough when you're still really in, I mean, you know, in the midst of it. We're what, 3 months in to this? I mean, 3 months into something brand new we don't understand. So, I mean, who knows? And, you know, it's just crazy. All these people they find that are asymptomatic and they don't have, you know, they don't seem to be transferring it. But, you know, that may manifest in other ways too later. It's, you know, I mean, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. So it's very odd. That's for sure. All right. Also in the news, we have something that I thought was crazy because I didn't even know was still happening. NASCAR has announced that they will be taking down all Confederate flags and not allowing any Confederate flags to fly at any events. This is quite shocking to me because I didn't realize this is something they were still doing.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way when I saw those headlines. I was like, oh, like just now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Better late than never.
If I was NASCAR and I was their PR guy and the president of NASCAR, I assume he's wearing he's dressed like Boss Hogg from Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, sure.
If he goes, hey, let's make an announcement and let's tell everyone we're going to stop flying the Confederate flags at our events. If I were the PR guy, I'd be like, how about we stop flying the flags at all events? And we just don't tell anyone.
We don't need to remind everyone that we've been flying them.
Most people
don't know.
Yeah, let's not make an announcement that we've been quietly, openly racist for the last 60 years. Like,
yeah,
let's
like here's
just
the
take
thing,
them
boss.
Down.
A lot of people don't actually follow our sport, so they don't know that we're doing this.
Yeah.
So we don't need to highlight that.
the even more appalling than that has been the amount of people who are pushing back against this, who feel like this is some sort of affront to their culture, which is astounding to me. And like a lot of people, I've seen this, maybe you've seen this kind of meme floating around, but it's like the Confederate flags actually stands for the 13 original colonies and the red X is the blood of Christ that pushed us, and like this whole thing. And I'm like, listen, it doesn't matter what someone wrote on paper, you know, back then to tell you what, you know, in the 1600s to decide what it meant. It turned
right.
out to be a flag for a bunch of racist separatists.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what it stands for. So maybe we need to not, you know, go. I mean, the swastika was originally a very spiritual symbol that was used predates Nazism by thousands of years. But it doesn't mean flying the Nazi's flag is probably a good idea
for like the rest of history now.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
just don't get to do it. Yeah.
One thing kind of soiled the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's funny how things can get co-opted like that. I think about, you know, kind of in local news is like the Proud Boys have been in there and,
right.
There's this second, I don't want to speak incorrectly. I don't know if it's the Proud Boys or other people who are in like-minded that white supremacist groups who like to wear Hawaiian shirts. And I'm like, no, we don't let them have, I don't want them to have that. Like, I don't have a ton of them, but I have some and
right.
I like them.
Yeah. I don't want
to, I want to keep wearing them. Like, don't give them that.
As long as you don't wear it with your AR-15. Or,
which I never do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, they clash. They're not in season at the same time. Or like, you know, with an MTFU sticker on your truck.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a
I don't have
giveaway.
That sticker or a truck, but
well, there you go. you're probably in the clear then. I always say every time I see an MTFU sticker, I assume that guy is still paying alimony to his cousin with his EBT card. It's just the worst group of people.
Dude, I was filling up and I saw a guy with a sticker that he was driving a Dodge Ram and I'm going to butcher the actual wording of it, but it was like, it had a pun that included like ramming your daughter, something like that.
Jesus.
And I was like, hey, man, I just have to ask. I'm curious about that sticker. Like, is that about your daughters? Or like, do you have daughters? He's like, no, not mine. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Just okay.
As long
just wondering. Thanks for your time. It was completely missed on him.
Sure.
But I couldn't resist. I was like, that is the worst sticker, and I can't pass up this opportunity. I have to have the conversation.
Well, yeah, people like that, it's completely lost on them, the irony of the whole thing. I watched this video not long ago where Jordan Klepert of The Daily Show is out interviewing a bunch of Trump supporters. And
oh, at the Trump rally?
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. Like, it blows my mind. If I was running for any public office and I saw a video and I found out those were the people that were voting for me, I would kill myself. I would quit politics. I would change my name. I would flee to a foreign country and I would never show my face again. I'm like, that's not my constituency. That doesn't make me feel good. The irony that the so many things is just completely lost on these people, and it is astounding that people are still able to rationalize that, like, you know, any type of positivity or like this is a good thing at all. I don't understand it.
It's hard to wrap your mind around. I think, though, honestly, I think my background in the South and the Bible Belt it gives me enough perspective. Like, I do know why a lot of people support, like, who will, like, vote Republican no matter what. I'm not saying Trump specifically, but they'll just always will.
Right.
Red
or dead.
I'm not there, but, like, I know why they do it.
Sure.
And unfortunately, they still do it. So.
Yeah. It's a weird thing. You know, anytime I hear someone say, you know, I'll vote Trump no matter what, or even anything, anytime someone says, I'd vote for anyone but Trump, like anything that's that polarizing, when someone says that statement, I'm like, you should not be able to vote. You have no objective, like, thinking. You're not willing to look at things objectively. If you're going to say anyone but this person, you have already closed yourself off to literally, well, I don't know, probably at least 60% of the population if you're going to say everyone. But it's like that's such a narrow-minded way of looking at anything.
Well, and I think the last presidential election, Trump and Hillary, it was like, I think a lot of people on either side were voting in that way. They're like, well, I don't want the other person, so I'm voting for this person. And, like, it's a bummer that the system set up to that. Those are the two best people that we came up with.
Well,
like,
yeah. I mean, that's I've been criticized quite a lot recently because I'm very, very open and honest about my opinions about things. I do this talk show. I do a weekly news comedy show, and, you know, in my stand up and things. And I've criticized Biden a lot, and people have given me, you know, someone was giving me shit about that. And I'm like, I definitely lean more liberal than conservative, but, like, I'm also in, at the end of the day, I have to vote for one of them, and I'll vote for Biden begrudgingly because he's the better of the, in my opinion, the better of the two, but I don't like either of them. I'm not going to just sit here and blindly take whoever they shove down our throats. We should question our leaders and ask for better. If you just sit back, lay back and take whatever they send you, you're going to keep getting, you know, not sufficient candidates.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Be willing to question, be willing to ask for better, be willing to, you know, confront them and, you know, push them to be better and give you candidates that are actually represent the people, you know?
Right.
So, all right. Let's see. Let's get into, let's do this last segment here, and then we will, we'll get out of here for the evening. So Dio, this last segment is something we call the rundown. It's a series of questions I go through with, first-time guests always. Individually, these questions mean very little, but when you put them together, it just kind of paints a picture of a person as a whole. So we're just going to ask you a couple random questions and see what you think, okay?
Let's paint.
All right. First question. What is a guilty pleasure song of yours? And like, that's a song that you're driving down the road, you know, you're loving this song, feeling it. You pull up to a stoplight and look over and there's a bus stop with people in it. You roll up those windows. Windows go up. So totally. No one knows the song you're listening to.
I don't want to be so proud as to say I don't have, I embrace the things I like. I'm like,
all right,
shameless about it, but I would maybe still put this song in that category. Friday by Rebecca Black.
that's a solid answer. That's a tough one to swallow. Cause not,
I just think it's hilarious.
Here's the deal. I'm on board with you with that song. I also love that song. But it is a song that, because it's like, not only it's like a bad song, but it's also barely a song.
Yeah, right.
So it's hard to swallow. Like, I mean, you know, you roll up with Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus. It's at least a song people know.
Yeah, people are on board.
You know,
yeah.
for the charted and she made money. You roll up with Friday and it's kind of a oof.
I can't believe no one's made a TikTok of like, got to make my mind up, which seat can I take? Like, what's in the front seat and the back seat? Like, it's just prime for it.
It really is. I wonder what she's doing now, that Rebecca Black. I bet I could get her on the podcast.
Yeah, you should shoot for it.
I'm going to ask her. You know, I'm going to try. Now that I'm writing this note down. Tweet at Rebecca Black.
I was like, yeah, she's probably on Twitter.
Yeah, or Instagram or something.
Yeah.
She's gettable for sure. Dio, in a doomsday / zombie apocalypse scenario, which we are not far off from.
Could be this year.
Could be this week. How long would you survive?
Oh man, like a week tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not very, very long.
Not the survival skills.
They've gotten worse as I've gotten older.
Yeah. You grew up in Texas. You had to grow up hunting, right?
I grew up around, chopping wood and shooting cans and stuff. I was never actually into hunting, but we were around guns and stuff. And, I think if I was in Texas, I'd be in a lot better situation because I could, you know, rally around some of my Texas people.
Yeah, sure.
They're a little bit of a different flavor of person than who I tend to be around here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I'd fare too well.
Not too
but
long.
But I'm also, I don't know how appealing I would be. I don't think I would taste that good.
Well, you know, desperate times come for desperate measures. It's not about taste. It's just about your next meal.
Yeah.
So
I do it.
Who would play you in a movie?
That's like alive still?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, sure. Or, you know, well, let's go. We can go extended as long as
it's. Well, I kind of have like some celebrity doppelgangers that are just, they're dead. One is, of course, our 19th president, Rutherford B. Hayes.
Sure, I was going to say that.
I know everyone was thinking it. Yeah. When I used to have a long beard, and he too had a long beard, and it's actually kind of uncanny when I have a beard how similar we look.
Sure.
And then when my hair's shorter, Van Gogh. I look like Van Gogh. Maybe what's the guy from Modern Family that looks kind of like this?
Jesse
Tyler Ferguson, is that his name?
Something like that. Yeah. What is his name? The redhead guy, right?
Yeah, I don't want to say it's that.
Okay, I could
fact check me.
I could see that. I was gonna say, sitting here, I was gonna say, maybe even Simon Pegg.
Oh, sure.
He'd have to ditch the accent. But he might be able to do that, pull that off.
Yeah, by all means.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Yeah, that I could see that.
What is that?
I could see. Yep, Jesse Tyler Ferguson's the guy. So yeah, I could see that too. All right.
Let's go with him.
Okay. Yeah, he's American. Let's give it to him. No, we're not giving it to our American. We don't want we don't want all those foreigners America coming first. In here stealing our jobs. let's see. If you could have one superpower, what would it be?
I know this. It would be the ability to go into a bookstore and in like 10 minutes read and retain everything that they have in there.
Okay. Why 10 minutes? Why not just one?
Because I want to like have to put some work into it. It's still pretty incredible, right?
Yeah, that's still very incredible. But like I just wanted to know why not just instantly.
Yeah, it seems unfair for some reason, but like, yeah, hey buddy, go grab a coffee. I'm gonna be in here reading every single book, remembering it all, and then I'll be right over.
Yeah, I'll be out. Just grab a coffee, hit the bathroom, breeze through the magnet section and come back. All right.
That would be a great skill to have.
That would be a good skill to have. That you get them all right away. Let's see. If you met aliens, you were out in a field one day in Texas, at night, you saw UFO aliens came down, these aliens came out to you and you could communicate with them. And they asked you to briefly describe humans to them in your world. How would you describe them?
Wow. Well, I would say, well, they sort of look like me, different versions of this shape. And really everyone's, you wouldn't maybe know it, but everyone's really doing their best.
I like how that positive spin on it. Yeah. You wouldn't really, you wouldn't know it. It doesn't show always.
It doesn't always show.
Right.
And then we work really hard to maybe reach the end of our lives and realize we might have spent our time differently when we have less of it left.
Yeah, that's well. There you go.
Yeah.
That brings me to my next question nicely, actually. It dovetails in. What advice would you give a 10-year-old Dio?
I would say live each year of your life, because probably as a 10-year-old you kind of think in terms of years, but like
sure.
Live each step of your life in a way that version of you doesn't have any regrets.
Okay.
Like feel good about how you spent that season of your life.
Yeah.
And then if you can look back at the end of that season and say, I feel good about that, maybe in like 5 years, you'll be like, that was stupid, but at least like you did your best while you were there.
Sure.
Yeah. That's, I think I'd say that.
Maybe like invest in Facebook.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hey, save that allowance and buy some Apple stock. Yeah, you're going to really love it.
By the by. All right. And last question. If you could pick one celebrity to be president, who would be your celebrity president in your world?
Martin Sheen. Is that right? Is that who played the president in The West Wing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bartlett?
Yeah. He'd be the guy?
That's my guy.
All right. For no other reason than he played one on TV?
Well, he played my favorite TV president.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I loved President Bartlett. I wish he was real. Although, I actually don't know that I would pick that, because I'm tired of having old white men be our president.
Yeah. Well, buckle up.
So maybe Cardi B? I don't know.
All right. Let's get funky with it. That sounds fun.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Can you imagine her at press conferences? Honestly, though, I mean, literally after Trump has been president, doesn't that open the door to
anyone?
I mean, at this point, there's no barrier to entry anymore.
Nope. You need no experience. You do need money. Cardi B's got those things.
She's got money. Yeah. She's got no experience in money.
She's got an audience.
Yeah, well, and that's the biggest thing. She's got a huge following.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's kind of what we found out, is that people want, like, they just want a celebrity.
Someone they've recognized their face.
Yep. That's sad. Sad day. All right. Well, Dio, before we go, let everyone know, shout out the Instagram, Facebook, website, anything where they can find you and follow you and, you know, live events where they can pick up some merch, things like that. Anything coming up?
For sure. Yeah. So it's just like at Spokane Doesn't Suck, all one word, no apostrophe, but yes, a contraction on everything. And there's not a lot of events coming up, so that's tricky. But I do currently, I printed some Pride shirts that are on black t-shirts. So nice. The logo is rainbow and the shirt's black, which I'm excited about because A, they turned out better than I thought they would, and yeah. B, I'm actually donating basically everything I make off of these shirts to two organizations. One is Odyssey Youth Movement, which is here in Spokane, a youth center for LGBTQ teens.
It's awesome.
Good. And then the other, so $5 from every shirt goes to that, and $5 from every shirt goes to the Spokane NAACP, because I want to contribute somehow with the craziness that's going on right now, and this provides me an opportunity to do that. So all the Pride shirts that sell in June during Pride Month, I'm doing that. $10 from each shirt goes to two different organizations.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, that's awesome, man. So go get your shirts, and you can find him on Instagram and hit him up, buy a shirt, do it. He's not gonna have live events, but you can still connect via the internet and get one of those shirts. They support a good cause. What are those? 100% polyester or cotton? Tri-blend? What are you working with?
They're tri-blend, yeah. So as soft as I can make them.
All right. Do you have one right there?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Can I see one?
What size is that? Yeah.
How much are those?
The t-shirts are 25 and the tanks are 20. I have men's and women's tanks. And they all have that logo on.
I want one of those in a medium.
Done.
I'll buy one for. I will send you the money, however you need me to, and then I can pick it up from you, mail it to however you want to do it, man. Let's do it. I want one of those.
Love it. Yeah.
And I encourage everyone else to get one that goes to a good cause. Spokane Doesn't Suck, as well as Odyssey. And the NAACP. So that's awesome, man. So guys, follow Dio, hit him up, get your shirts, look for his live events coming up soon where you can see him and buy merch in person. As for me, we do have some live dates finally coming back. This Saturday at the Viking, we're doing Dad Jokes Comedy. It's myself, Tom Meisfjord, Rob Wentz, Sophie Tomey. Social Hour presents live comedy at the Viking. I've got Weekend at the Comedy Club, the 16th through the 18th. Drink and Debate at the Comedy Club, Spokane Comedy Club, July 23rd. And then Lewiston, Idaho, I've got you booked every month through the end of the year at Shooters. Coming back. Love my people down in Lewiston, and you guys always come out. They called me today and wanted to start booking again. So comedy's coming back, guys. It's on its way. All right, Dio, any last words before we get out of here?
No, man, but thank you so much for having me. It was great talking to you, and yeah, glad you have some live shows coming up. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, I got, you know, I mean, I have a show this Saturday, and it is the first time I've been on stage since like mid-March, which is the longest I've gone in like the last 5 years without being on stage is probably 3 days. So
right? Yeah.
This is it's a little odd. I've got to do 45 minutes, so we'll see if I still got my fastball.
Yeah, everybody go watch DC if you still got it.
Or just make fun of me because I don't.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right, guys. So for the Social Hour, I am Deese, and for Dio, thank you very much, guys. And now for my weekly apologies. I'd like to apologize to Six Flags, Obamacare, Spokane Food, The Knitting Factory, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap Band, The Dixie Chicks, and Rebecca Black. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios Podcast Network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!